Welcome to the show. Plenty to talk about, including some pitchers who are widely available. You might want to pick them up right now. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Hey, remember that Heath Cummings guy? He's back.
Oh, did you want me to say something after that?
That was your intro.
I didn't know that was an intro. I thought you were going to like maybe praise me a little bit, talk about how good it is to have me back, how much you missed me, how bad the podcast. No, the podcast was great without me. I listened to it. You guys did a phenomenal job.
You
did not listen to it.
I got a lot of tweets about raisins.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I didn't know what that was about.
Okay, I'll update you real quick on the raisins because we have a lot of tweets about raisins coming up at the end of the show in a newer, an even newer segment called Raisin the Roof. Everybody loves raisins. I said that raisins go with everything. Some people yesterday said, no, raisins don't go with Mexican food. I've got the proof that you are wrong, whoever said that. That's coming up at the end of the show. But we have more important things to talk about, like Jacob Faria and Buck Farmer. And I want to focus a little bit on deep leagues today. Always good to do that. Talk about guys who are owned in less than 20% of leagues. Some of them owned in less than 10% of leagues. And you guys tell me, deep leagues or shallow leagues. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. All right, you're telling us deep leagues or shallow leagues. What does that mean?
Should they be owned in only deep leagues, or are they okay in shallow leagues?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
All right.
We also have a new segment called This Just In, which is not what you think. I'm excited for This Just In. But tell me this, buy or sell. Fantasy owners should drop a 38-year-old pitcher with an ERA over 5 for a 23-year-old pitcher with an ERA under 2.
Yeah. How many innings has the 23-year-old pitcher thrown?
6 1/3.
then it's questionable. I'm assuming the 38-year-old is John Lackey.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily. I don't think Lackey is undroppable. He's kind of like the raisins of fantasy baseball. I'd like to think that I've got better options, but if I'm like starving, I could have some.
Oh, okay. You're obviously not a raisins guy, which is just another reason.
I don't have a problem with raisins. I just don't know why somebody would choose to eat them with all the delicious choices we have available to us today.
Because we already determined their nature's candy. But the more important guy here is the 23-year-old, and that's Jacob Faria, who made his major league debut for the Rays, gave up a run in the first inning on an infield single, a stolen base, and then an RBI single. And he had 16 swinging strikes. He had 5 strikeouts, 1 run on 3 hits, 2 walks against the White Sox. And I watched the start. He looked really good. And he actually, Scott, he threw harder than I thought. You know, based on the video I saw of him pitching in the minor leagues, I thought he was kind of like a 90-mile-per-hour guy, but he isn't. Faria's got more velocity than that. And
he'll average around 91, 92, I guess. Probably what he'll average. I saw him peak at 93 a few times, right?
I think I saw at least 294s, but you'd never know. I mean,
he was at 92.6 yesterday, according to what I'm looking at.
All right, so he's not a soft tosser. He's not a flamethrower, but he's not like a finesse guy.
Right, just almost exactly average.
Okay, good. So Faria and Buck Farmer, let's just talk about both these guys. They're both 10-11% owned. I picked up Faria in 2 leagues, and that is with the expectation that he might get sent down, but mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be down for long.
No.
Because they're around 500. They're solid. They need him. He's good. Let's do it.
Matt Andrews is coming back, but, I mean, it's not like Erasmo Ramirez needs to be in the rotation.
Right.
There's room for him if the Rays want to make room for him, and it was the more impressive performance between the two. 16 swinging strikes in the game. Buck Farmer obviously had a great outing, and you know, after that 11 strikeout effort against the White Sox a couple weeks ago, it was the kind of encore performance he needed to stick around and to really get us excited in fantasy. But you know, he was facing the Mike Troutless Angels, and even though he didn't give up an earned run in the contest, and it was good in that sense, he wasn't as dominant as he was in that start against the White Sox. And not that 5 strikeouts and 6 1/3 innings are bad, but the clearer difference between the two for me was the number of swinging strikes he got. Buck Farmer only got
seven
swinging strikes.
All right,
after getting 18 in that game against the White Sox. His velocity, you know, his velocity was pretty average too. It was lower than it was in that White Sox start, and it was lower than Farias. He also threw only, I think, 57 of his 100 pitches for strikes. And considering he has a pretty middling minor league track record, considering the opponent in this particular start, look, he's probably worth a flyer if you don't mind losing the guy you're dropping. But, you know, if that guy is John Lackey, or, you know, I know there's some leagues of mine where just the bottom player is somebody I would have a really hard time dropping, and I don't think I'm ready to swap that guy out for Farmer just yet. There's still cause for skepticism here.
I think the biggest thing with Farmer was that elite 11 strikeout performance. We didn't have any real evidence before that to say that he had any chance of being a good strikeout pitcher. And he's not been a good strikeout pitcher in the minors since 2014 in A-ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this was a good performance, probably a little bit fortunate against a bad lineup. He could be, I mean, he might be a top 60 starting pitcher, but that's like what you're hoping for.
All right, that's Buck Farmer, but what about Jacob Faria? Would you drop John Lackey for Faria?
Well, I was saying on Twitter last night that I would probably be more likely to pick up Farmer than Faria just because it's clear he has a job. But I've had a little more time to think about it, and just, you know, this start for Faria was more impressive than Farmer's, and the minor league numbers, at least this year at AAA, were more impressive for Faria. He had a great strikeout rate down there. And I think there's the Rays sound enthusiastic enough, and there's enough opportunity there that, like you were saying, if he can sit down, I don't think it'll be for long. So I'm leaning toward picking up Faria instead of Farmer now.
When he got called up, I think you might have made the comment that he could be like Denelson Lamet. And we saw what happened with Denelson Lamet's third start.
Yeah.
I just dropping, and I'm not a John Lackey fan. I've probably been, but dropping somebody that you know somebody else is likely to pick up for a guy that is just as likely to blow up two starts from now as he is to be as good as John Lackey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as good as John Lackey theoretically is. But, you know, I wasn't trying to suggest I'd drop Lackey for Faria either. I was just contrasting Faria and Farmer. I would guess most people listening don't have to drop somebody as high-end as Lackey.
Well,
I don't think, but I think a lot of people are not viewing Lackey as high-end anymore.
Well, let's throw another name out there.
Why don't I tell you the two guys I dropped for
Kennedy?
I'll tell you the two guys I dropped for Faria last night.
Okay.
I dropped Liriano and I dropped Skoglund.
I'm good with both of those for sure.
All right, who are you going to say, Scott? Ian Kennedy, I think I heard.
Yeah, Ian Kennedy is somebody I dropped for either. Adam Wainwright, who when we checked in yesterday was 94% owned. I'd be happy to drop him for either of these two. You know, because he's been bad dating back to last year. Not just this year, like Lackey, and without the good peripherals Lackey has. I don't think I'd be ready to drop Waka yet, though he is starting to get scary.
No,
so that's
you can't
we're
do that.
We're right around the Chase Anderson. I'd keep Chase Anderson over both of these two. I'd keep Jimmy Nelson over both of these two.
Would you drop Denelson Lamet?
I would probably not drop Denelson Lamet. I want to see one more start from Denelson Lamet because the first two were so good. You know, I understand the third one was so bad that his ERA looks terrible now, but, you know, it was an isolated bad start.
All right.
So, no, not him. Eichhoff, he can go. Forget Eichhoff.
Sabathia?
Yeah, I'd rather have these two than Sabathia, though. I mean, Sabathia's value it should be on the rise.
Heath, what do you think about Sabathia right now? Sabathia, with eight scoreless innings and five strikeouts against the Red Sox, he is 5-0 with a 1.11 ERA in his last five starts and is 69% owned.
Sabathia is another raisin.
I don't really.
He was great at one. He was great slash grape at one point, and now he's just old. No, like what he's doing is. Some it's impressive, but I don't expect it to last.
No, me
so,
either.
So, yeah, I would drop him. I don't own him anywhere. I haven't been moved to pick him up anywhere.
Sabathia is he did this last year. In May and June, he had a 7-start stretch that was excellent, and then he was terrible for the next 2 months. So he's going to be hot and cold, and he's not getting a lot of swinging strikes even in this 1.11 ERA stretch. He pitched great last night, though. I just thought, you know, it was refreshing that there are pitchers that we can talk about today that people might want to pick up. And so,
yeah, definitely. I mean, if they're both 10% owned like you have here in the notes, that needs to change pretty drastically. Mm-hmm. I'd rather own both than Bauer. I'd rather own both than Tyler Anderson, Kevin Gausman, Joe Ross.
What about Alex Meyer? Because he was pretty good again last night, too.
Sure.
I think I'd rather own Meyer than Farmer or Faria.
Oh, but the walks. He's so many walks.
Yeah.
But like every piece of evidence we have says Faria is going to have problems with the walks, too. Like he only walked 2 last night, and that's great. But he's had walk problems throughout the minors.
Okay, I'm glad you all brought that up, because I look at minor league numbers, and a lot of guys have walk issues in the minors. I don't know what is an alarming walk rate in the minors. How many guys in the minors have like great control? Like Blake Snell took it to another level.
He's not Blake Snell problems with walks.
Because yeah. I was just looking at Chance Adams, and Chance Adams is walking guys too, but I don't know what the number is when you evaluate minor league numbers. How many walks is too many walks? Because I thought like Faria walked guys, but it didn't seem like a number that was so high that I thought, oh, he's going to be a big problem.
It does seem like walk rates tend to improve in the majors. I feel like normally you'd say anything above 3 per 9 in is bad, but I feel like it's more like anything above 3.5 or maybe even above 4 in the minors is bad.
I notice it if it's above 3.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
yeah,
it's not going to make me like just ignore a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
like Alex Meyer's walk problems, they're proven at the major league level and they're extreme. They're like Snell level. So I don't know. He'd be third on this list for me. I could understand picking him up over Farmer because the dominance numbers seem to be better. He got 13 swings and misses on his curveball alone in this most recent start against the Tigers, straight up against Farmer. And the last couple starts, which have been good, walk problems, but they've been good. He's focused on throwing his curveball more, so I think there's enough failure attached to him right now that you can probably afford to wait on him in a way maybe you can't these two others. It may be just a perception thing that's driving how I'd prioritize them off the waiver wire.
All right,
but so, I do think there's some reason for enthusiasm with Meyer.
So let's get going here. So we gave you 3 pitchers who are owned in about 10 or 11% of leagues. Jacob Faria, Buck Farmer, and Alex Meyer. If you're in deeper leagues, certainly you want to be looking at them. If you're in shallower leagues, it's not a bad idea, depending on who your worst player is. Real quick here, Heath, what about Luis Perdomo? At one point we liked him. He's, other than 2 terrible starts against Arizona, he hasn't been that bad, but Perdomo is 17% owned. Would you leave Perdomo for deeper leagues, or is there a case to be made in shallower leagues?
I would leave him for deeper leagues right now. And he's a guy that I might get excited about it again another week or two if he's got 2 starts, or if he's probably has 2 starts next week, doesn't he?
I would imagine. Let's check it out.
Because I'm not going to get excited at Perdomo to the point to where I think I'm going to pick him up and own him for the rest of the year. But I don't, like you said, he's mostly had good starts.
Yeah, he's got Cincinnati at home and Milwaukee on the road.
Miller Park.
And the Reds. Scooter Jeanette.
Like, I think I'd probably rather start Perdomo next week than Buck Farmer.
Hmm.
How about some hitters that are owned in less than 20% of leagues? I'm going to tell you a name. You tell me, should we keep him in the deeper leagues or start thinking about picking him up in shallower formats? Mike Zunino, since coming back, since being recalled, Zunino's batting .326 with 4 home runs. And a wonderful 3 walks to 22 strikeouts in 13 games. But, you know, they say he retooled his swing and he homered again yesterday. So, two homers. Zunino, 19%. Deeper leagues or think about him in shallower leagues?
Just 2 catcher.
Zunino. Yeah.
Okay, look, in a roto league where you don't get penalized for strikeouts, I definitely would want him as a number 2 catcher.
But sure, he's probably going to hit 190 still. I mean,
he's going to hurt your batting average.
Yeah, but he's a catcher, so he won't have as many at bats, so it won't hurt quite as much.
Yeah, that's fair. But he would be pretty low on my list of second catchers still.
I was going to drop Francisco Cervelli for him, and Cervelli. Well, I was going to DL Cervelli for him, but Zunino apparently is already owned by an owner who is not making any roster moves, so that's
not that jerk.
Ben Gamel, 14% owned, 10-game hitting streak. He's batting .319 with two home runs in 37 games. Does struggle against lefties, but Ben Gamel, 14% owned. Shallow, deep leagues only, or are you thinking about Gamel?
Deep only.
Deep only.
Wilmer Flores, 10% owned, and great against lefties as always, but actually hitting pretty well against righties, batting .302, only a .448 slugging. Wilmer Flores is batting .317 with five home runs, 10% owned. You tell me.
Deep, deep, deep. You know, the threshold for a hitter to get our attention these days is so much higher than for a pitcher.
Yeah.
It's not even funny.
Yeah, Flores probably needs to be owned in slightly more than 10% of leagues, but not a whole lot more.
Okay, Kansas City promoted Ramon Torres, who played second base last night, and he is shortstop eligible. Ramon Torres.
Yeah, I'm not getting excited about him.
I like this look that Scott made about Ramon Torres, and it was the same look when I saw his name in the lineup last night. Yeah, I no.
Okay, no, I don't.
You know what that look meant? I have no idea who this guy is.
Royals Homer Heath has no idea who this guy is.
He hit really well at I think, AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah, PCL, he did, really well, 794 OPS.
Oh,
but,
okay, I thought it was better.
And
high batting average,
like,
right?
Didn't hit a lick there last year.
Okay, all right, no Ramon Torres. You can't spell Ramon without no, except it's really on. So he won't be on your roster. You can't spell Ramon. Okay, JT Riddle. 5% owned.
Riddle me this. Why would anybody want JT Riddle?
All right, wonderful. And then these two outfielders, Eric Young, 6% owned, batting .286 with three steals and four walks and seven runs in nine games. Eric Young, 6% owned. Delino DeShields, 15% owned.
I'd rather have DeShields than Young. You just won't give up your little Young fetish here, but... DeShields.
What?
That was a strange combination of words, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a little bit. That was great, though. Loved it.
DeShields, like, he had a DeShields fetish, too.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a little more appropriate.
Well, but you know what my favorite TV show of all time is. It's DeShield. So... Delino DeShields, of course, is the Vic Mackey of fantasy. Now, Delino DeShields really hasn't done anything, but he led off yesterday. If Adrian Beltre is hurt, I think it would probably help his playing time. I don't know. I actually don't know about that, but wouldn't hurt. And, yeah, I don't know. Do you see any reason for DeShields or Young to be more like 25% owned?
DeShields should be more like 25% owned, yes, because in any type of deep roto league, he should be owned.
All right. He is 15% owned. Okay, a lot to get to today. Let's get to a couple of closer items real quick. Clint Hurdle is sticking with Tony Watson, who has blown four of his last five save chances. But, of course, we do recommend picking up Felipe Rivero.
Oh, yeah, that's happening now. I was surprised it didn't happen yesterday, like going into yesterday's game. But, yeah, it's there's no excuse to send Watson out for the next save.
But he said he's going to.
After yesterday's game? I know he said that before yesterday's
game.
Oh,
did I misinterpret that?
I after what I read is that he said, yeah, they're going to re-examine it.
Okay. Maybe I am wrong. But either way, even if it doesn't say it today...
It gets confusing when a guy blows a save on back-to-back days.
Yeah, it sure does. And Pat Neshek is the Phillies closer. So there you go. Hooray. Email of the day, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. John wants to know, which top 50 pitchers will have innings limits this year? He suggests McCullers, DeGrom, Paxton, Price. Anybody that you could see having an innings limit this year?
Well, the only one of those that I thought was a possibility was McCullers, because between the majors and minors last year, he didn't even quite reach 90 innings, and obviously he's a big part of the Astros' future. I can't imagine they would do like the Nationals did with Strasburg a few years ago and just left him out of the playoffs. but they're going to have to figure something out with him. But there are others who the emailer, forget his name, sorry, who he didn't mention. And like Luis Severino, I think, is one that seems likely. Dylan Bundy is another.
Well, are you going to trade these guys? Or are you just
am I going to trade them?
We've been trying to trade Dylan Bundy for like a month now.
I'm the only one who has.
Right. We have. And, man.
I wonder.
Like, Severino wasn't terrible last year. Like, it seems like he could probably get 190. But if the Yankees are headed to the playoffs, then they wouldn't want to use all those up during the regular season.
I wonder about Minaya.
Yeah, no, I just spotted his name in my rankings here too. Yeah, that's a good. It's not like a McCullers situation. Yeah. McCullers the one like giant red flags. Holy cow, what are they going to do with this guy? He threw 90 innings last year, and they plan to pitch till they plan to be in the hunt till November. So that's clearly an issue. Minaya had 145 in the majors last year, rounding up.
He had 165 overall.
Yeah, so he's probably good for breaking.
But McCullers
he's
was
already
there,
spent time on the DL.
Like I think there's some debate too whether they're worried about how many McCullers pitched last year or what his career max is.
But his career max isn't very high either.
Yeah, I mean 157.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 less than Minaya threw last year.
You know what I've kind of been saying about Jacob deGrom, that I wouldn't mind swapping him for a pitcher of equal caliber that I felt was a little safer.
Okay. And,
do you feel that way about...
He's of equal caliber.
Well, you know, like Yu Darvish. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, if somebody's willing to go for that today, probably not.
I guess I shouldn't have picked... I couldn't have picked a guy... I should have not have picked a guy coming off Tommy John surgery, but... anyway...
No, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... What was your point?
Do you feel the same way about Lance McCullers? Not just because of an innings limit, because his extensive injury history, his delivery is one that concerns people. He throws across his body. Do you feel that way about McCullers? That maybe you just trade to get equal value and somebody less risky?
I mean, it depends what you mean by equal value. I think I have him 16th, 17th in my starting pitcher rankings. So, you know, obviously I trade him for anyone I have ranked higher than that. And that includes several pitchers who have not performed nearly as well as McCullers this year, like Johnny Cueto, Justin Verlander, DeGrom, Jake Arrieta. But in terms of do I feel like I need to just try and get face value for McCullers because I fear something's going to change for the worse? Like, I'm not there yet. It still feels a little early for that. Maybe as we enter July, I'd start thinking about that, but he's such a valuable part of my team, and it's so hard to trade for pitching. Like, would I trade him straight up for a Carlos Martinez or a David Price? Or
right, exactly. That's well,
yes,
not
or Robbie Ray.
No, but yes on the first two.
Yes on the first two.
Price, I mean,
yeah,
like
I could see doing it on the first two.
You trade him for Price, but that's not exactly the theory, because Price is obviously pretty risky himself. But sure.
Right. It's not the theory, but you don't have to worry about the Red Sox just pulling the rug out from under Price.
No.
Well, and like, there's a decent chance that McCullers gets shut down after the, like, pretty late in the season.
Yeah.
They may only need to limit one or two starts.
That's why I wouldn't want to do it too early, unless...
I'm just probably not even doing it.
Okay.
I'm probably just rolling with him.
All right. Roll with McCullers, or, you know, get David Price for McCullers. Manny Machado has a pretty bad cut on his hand after he got spiked by Andrew McCutchen. X-rays were negative, but Machado may need an MRI. Great, I just traded for him. Miguel Cabrera was hit in the face by Nick Castellanos' helmet. Castellanos got really angry about being taken out of the game. He threw his helmet, it ricocheted, it bounced, and hit Cabrera right in the face, but he's
first
fine.
First thing Castellanos has hit all year.
Justin Verlander could start this weekend. Dallas Keuchel was scratched with an illness. Great. So much for 18-0.
That's working out pretty well for you, actually, because I've got Machado and Nelson Cruz, who are probably going to both miss the rest of the week. So.
Okay. Well, that's good. Jacoby Ellsbury still has headaches. Aaron Hicks, 79% owned. He batted second yesterday. They moved Gary Sanchez down to sixth. Aroldis Chapman could be back next week. Here's something that only a Yankees fan would want to tell you. Chris Carter nearly hit two home runs yesterday. He had one taken away from him at the wall, and he's been kind of lacing the ball lately, and, you know, he's been terrible, but we know Chris Carter can heat up. So just saying. Adrian Beltre sat with an ankle injury. Still don't know if he's going to go on the DL. Cam Bedrosian had a minor setback. He had some groin soreness and won't pitch for a few days. The Marlins' top prospect, Braxton Garrett, may need Tommy John surgery to deplete one of the worst farm systems in baseball. Scott Schebler returned. He homered. Ian Happ returned to the lineup. He homered. Kyle Seager has homered in two straight games. We like that. We hope he's getting hot. Adonis Garcia is back on the DL for the Braves. Salvador Perez is day-to-day. Justin Turner will be back tomorrow. Edwin Encarnacion's got a sore hip. He's going to DH when they get back to the AL Park, which will be today or tomorrow. Mike Clevinger was sent to AAA, but he will be back. Francisco Cervelli on the concussion DL. Ivan Nova could avoid the DL. Oh, Sean Newcomb is going to pitch this weekend for the Bravos. Are we picking up Sean Newcomb for the Braves?
He is actually even a higher priority than Faria and Farmer, I think. Now, he does have, at least this year in the minors, he did have like a walk rate of over 5. And he's struggled with walks throughout his minor league career, but he's considered the best prospect of the three of them, and I think it's worth you'd rather be the one who has him on your roster if he, you know, really impressive right out of the gate.
Team Kreese went and grabbed him in the For the People League.
All right, Sean Newcomb, was that a Heath move or a Chris move?
It was a Heath move.
Okay, Kreese. Jorge Polanco is on the bereavement list for the Twins. They called up
Kenny Vargas.
Kenny Vargas.
Yeah.
Brad Miller back on the DL with a groin strain, and Brian Johnson will replace Eduardo Rodriguez in the Red Sox rotation. Wednesday standouts, guys. What stood out to you other than the pitchers that we've already talked about? What stood out to you?
Well, I will tell you who stood out to me, and who stood out to me was most certainly... how are you feeling, Adam, about dropping Scott Schebler now?
Oh, for Domingo Santana, who's been even better lately? I'm feeling just fine about it, sir.
Okay, fair enough. But,
Wow.
I was encouraged that Scott Schebler, after what looked like a really bad shoulder injury, he was back just a couple days later and went 3-for-3 with a homer. I still think he's pretty close to must start, except when there's a bunch of lefties. Unfortunately, they are facing a bunch of lefties to close out this week. But and he's among the league leaders in home runs and deserves to be universally owned. So, you know, whoever is in that league where he picked up Santana, I'm sure somebody could use Schebler.
Yeah. No, Schebler should be owned, especially in a 14-team league. But when you're 18-0, Scott, like, you're obviously amazing. You've got to make some tough decisions. We had to let Scott Schebler go. I don't know what to say.
People need to trade more. I'm so tired of proposing trades and them getting no counteroffer, or even worse, they just sit there. No response whatsoever. They sit there for days. It's clear I'm just wasting my time.
For what it's worth, yeah, that is very frustrating, actually. But trading outfielders is extremely difficult. For what it's worth, Domingo Santana is better this year in fantasy than Scott Schebler, and they have the same amount of at-bats, not the same amount of plate appearances, but not too far apart. I know Schebler just missed a few games. But Santana's batting .279 with 11 home runs and 5 steals. He scored 35 runs. We talk about Schebler a lot, but Santana is crushing it right now.
Who do I want to add you?
Domingo, yeah. Oh, I got to get the old theme song back. People keep asking for it. It will be played at some point. Heath, who stood out to you?
Let's just talk about me being wrong about Brian McCann again, because it looks like he's heating back up, hit a home run for his second game in a row, 4 hits yesterday. And he's not playing as much as I would necessarily like for my catcher to play, but he's been so much better than I thought he was going to be this year.
Okay, how crazy is this? Brian McCann, top 4 catcher rest of season.
4 is probably a spot or two higher than I would go, but I wasn't sure he was going to be a top 10 catcher this year. So yeah, he's definitely that.
Okay, he's gotten a little less pull happy this year. He went from 50% pull percentage to 43% this year. And I know that was something that he wanted to work on. So he's going up the middle a little bit more, Brian McCann. Would you rather have Brian McCann or Salvador Perez?
Salvi.
Yep.
But you know what's about to happen to Salvador Perez. Like, you know it. It's a fact.
Well, it's not going to happen for at least another month.
It's already happening.
What do you mean it's already happening?
He's cold as ice, except like 2 days ago he had a good game.
He's as cold as ice.
Yeah, I'm willing to sacrifice Salvador Perez for some foreigner. Get it? Because Foreigner sings that song, Cold as Ice.
And, yeah. I don't.
You don't get that?
Like, but so you're willing in a league where you have Salvador Perez to deal him for Brian McCann.
I was more willing to make the foreigner pun and not really talk fantasy baseball there, but
Oh, and stupid Justin Smoke hit 2 more home runs.
Oh yeah, okay. We got to play this just in, by the way.
Okay.
Would I trade Salvador Perez for Brian McCann? Roto, yes. Points, no, because I think the plate appearances will be the difference there. All right. Rick Porcello, real quick. Rick Porcello, 4.46 ERA.
Sucks.
Rick Porbio or Rick Porcello, guys? What do you think?
Rick Por never owned him.
I just from the BABIP and how it's so high, I don't know if it's tops in the majors. It's got to be close. I feel like he's a buy. But I also feel like it's unreasonable to expect him to regain Cy Young form this year. So buy with the caveat that the person you're buying him from is just frustrated with him and looking to dump him on anyone.
Okay, would you rather have Rick Porcello or Drew Pomeranz?
Porcello.
Yeah, Porcello.
Porcello or Pineda?
Probably still Porcello.
Yeah, that's right in the range. It's still, like, my confidence level with Pineda is still pretty shaky.
Yeah, all right. And I know a lot of people had questions about Matt Carpenter. He homered yesterday. In his previous 23 games, he had a 453 OPS, batted 141 with 2 home runs. I looked at the batted ball profile, that kind of stuff. Peripherally, it doesn't seem like there's anything that wrong with Matt Carpenter. He's still hitting the ball as hard as he did last year, a little bit more soft contact, but just a bad year so far. A lot of walks, but a .210 batting average. Are you concerned about Matt Carpenter, or do you think he's basically Matt Carpenter?
I think this late in the year, it's fair to be concerned. I haven't really moved him down my rankings at all because, you know, I've seen him slump enough and overcome it that I'm not freaking out yet. And like you said, there's no like major red flags in the batted ball profile. So I still see him as a top 10 player at any of the 3 position where he's eligible. Maybe kind of on the fringes at first base, but the other 2 for sure. And he's a buy for me.
I will say the thing that has changed, and it changed last year, but it's gone to more of an extreme this year, is he's up to a 50% fly ball rate. And he's still hitting the crap out of the ball, 42% hard contact rate, so there should be even more home runs coming. But like you look at his BABIP and you see 227 and he's a career 323 guy, I don't think with this profile he's a 323 BABIP guy. Okay. He may be more of a 250, 260 hitter if he's hitting half of his batted balls in the air. But I have to believe he's got some positive power regression coming as well.
All right, that's Matt Carpenter we're talking about. You want to get a guy like Matt Carpenter on your team because you need a good roster, and that's basically the same philosophy if you are an employer. You're looking for talent. You're looking for the best talent out there. You want to go to ZipRecruiter, and the URL that we have for you is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. You can't find the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to get out there. You need to post on all the top job sites. And that's what ZipRecruiter allows you to do. With just one click, get your job posted to 100 plus job sites. And then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. This is what's really different and awesome about ZipRecruiter. other job sites, you got to go out and you got to find people. ZipRecruiter gets them to you. It finds candidates for you. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls. Just screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So the offer that we have for you right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Oh, big time team name fail for me yesterday. So 2 days ago, I came up with Sexual Healy, and I sang Ryan Healy's name in.
Right.
And I got an email from Victor, and he says, "You came up with another song? Come on, man. Throw me a raisin over here. I sent you Sexual Healy months ago." And he attached the email, and he did. He told me about it, and I guess subconsciously stole it from
I just you. Kind of always assumed that all of your team name ideas were actually stolen from listeners.
I don't know that they're all stolen. I think there are many – first of all, there are many originals. I never steal, but there definitely are times when I didn't remember that it had already been proposed, like, because this is not the first time that something like this has happened. Somebody will say a team name. I'll look it over. We get so many of them. And then, two months later, I got this great idea. But it was, you know, already planted.
So, I mean, it's kind of like all jokes are shared in this social media age. Like, a big event happens and you want to make a joke about it on Twitter. But then you see, you know, 18 people just showing up when you search whatever that event is, have already made the same joke. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I can't. Like, what's an original joke is my point, you know? Like, what's original?
I think most of my bad puns on the podcast are original.
They're bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're also great.
I made up a joke that was really funny, but I can't tell it on the air because it's very inappropriate. But it was funny. You would have enjoyed it. Now, let's play This Just In. Rank these players: Justin Verlander, Justin Wilson, Justin Upton, Justin Bohr, and Justin Smoke.
Justin Upton is first.
Ahead of Justin Verlander?
Yes.
What?
Just some outfielder who strikes out a ton and runs into a few is better than a potential ace? No.
Potential.
Wait,
everybody's a potential ace.
Like, Justin Verlander is a distant first over all of these hitters. In fact, I don't even think I'd put Justin Upton second.
Well, we have Justin Wilson in there, too. Let's not sell him short. I needed another Justin.
I'm going to put Justin Upton last. Like,
outfielders
are so replaceable, and he's just kind of, like, his flaws, I think, in this environment are a bigger differentiator than
everybody strikes out.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal anymore.
Not like Justin Upton.
Yeah, but yes. We've got Justin Upton right now during his hot streak, you know? Like, we know what Justin Upton is. He's
a 250-ish hitter who may approach 30 homers. Like, yeah, that's not exciting, I think, at this environment. So I'm going to go Justin Verlander, then Justin Bohr, Justin Smoke, Justin Wilson, just Justin Upton.
Yeah, I cannot put, like, Justin Bohr might be Justin Upton. Justin Smoke might be Justin Upton.
No, they're going to be better than Justin Upton.
So I don't know why we would think that.
Bohr looks like a complete stud, first of all. There's still some question with Smoke, I guess. He could just totally fall off. But Bohr's, you know, what he does in terms of walk rate, strikeout rate, hard contact rate.
He has certainly had a very nice Justin Upton-like start to the season.
You are overrating Justin Upton.
I agree.
We're talking about Justin Bohr. Like, he's not a 29. Like, he's about as old as Justin Smoke.
Right, but we didn't really know who Justin Bohr was until this year.
I don't know why we didn't know who Justin Bohr was. He's got 1,000 career plate appearances.
Yeah, but they were never, like, a full-time role. And plus, like, it was funny. I was noting yesterday that if on Twitter a baseball fan awoke from a 7-year coma, what he's seeing now from Justin Smoke, Yonder Alonso, and Logan Morrison is exactly what he would have expected. Like, for some reason, we're getting these delayed breakouts from so many hitters. I don't know how much of it is the fly ball revolution. It doesn't seem like Smoke fits into that. The other two, Alonso and Morrison, due to some degree. Well, Alonso, certainly. There's been a lot of talk about him and that. But I don't know. It's causing me to question everything I know about when a breakout should happen and when's a reasonable time to dismiss a player based on track record.
We can't hold on to bad players for 7 years just because we had this weird blip this year.
Yeah, don't.
I mean, historically speaking, it's been more normal. This has been a more normal development pattern. Players don't usually come throughout the course of baseball history, and even, you know, going back just 20 years or so, a player wasn't typically great right away. It took several years for him to become everything they expected.
Yeah, I think like 26, 27 used to be the now you're coming into your prime.
Yeah.
These guys are like towards the end of their prime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change your whole philosophy.
I agree, it's weird, but I'm very happy to have them in the leagues where I have them, you know? So
I'll go Upton.
I'm glad I didn't just dismiss them because I decided, since I had already decided they were bad, they can't possibly be good now.
Upton, Verlander, Wilson, Boer, and Smoke.
Okay, honestly, like, you want to argue about the hitters, whatever. The fact that you have Upton over Verlander, Heath, is more newsworthy to me. So explain.
We're doing. This is Roto, right?
Whatever you want. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like, explain your rationale to me when you know how.
Because in points, I would rather have. Like, Justin Verlander's been pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
He's not a top 12 starting pitcher. You're having some faith that he's going to regain something to put him in your top 20.
I just can't imagine that somebody's offering Justin Upton.
I don't probably have any teams where I have Justin. Well, I don't have Justin Verlander, but where I am trading Justin Verlander for Justin Upton, maybe. But I'm just talking about how valuable they are.
Yeah.
What about versus like Gerrit Cole? Would you take Justin Upton or Gerrit Cole?
I think that's right in the same range.
Yeah, I just, like, to me, outfielders are the most dispensable and starting pitchers are the least dispensable, and I guess you're not.
I don't necessarily disagree with that if I have a starting pitcher that I'm really pretty sure is going to be good.
All right, guys, let's move on. That was a good segment. Now I just need more people who have the same name and I can make similar segments with those guys.
Justin. Yeah. I get it.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
This Justin. I just got it now too.
Oh, really?
It's Justin.
You didn't get it?
No. Yeah.
No.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry. I failed. I should have explained that better. We were ranking Justins there. And, you know, I think Timberlake to me is probably after Verlander and before the hitters.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, no.
Justin Timberlake.
No, I'd go Verlander, Boer, Wilson, Timberlake, Smoke, Upton. I think that's what I'd do. Okay, some fun facts from yesterday. Clayton Kershaw has already surpassed last year's walk total. He had 11 last year. He has 14 this year. Wow. He sucks. Odubel Herrera, 64% owned, has tied his doubles total from last season. He has 9 doubles in June, and Odubel Herrera now leads baseball with 21 two-baggers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
9 in June. It's June 8th, by the
is
way.
Is he over 65% owned again yet?
64%. He stinks. This is it. Let's do it. You know what? This is what I was thinking the other day. This podcast, we've had a strong year. Like, we've had 10 solid weeks. I'm feeling good about it. What we really haven't had is, like, heated debates. And I feel like that's on me because I'm usually – you guys think very similarly a lot of times. Like, I'm usually the one who gets really animated, and I'll right. start arguing. Let's do this right now. Odubel Herrera is trash. This is a great hot streak from him. I have zero interest in owning him. I know he stole 25 bases last year, but – he's not on a 25 stolen base pace.
Well,
this
he can't
year.
Steal any bases because he's not hitting any singles.
Well,
he's
he stinks.
Got like 10 extra base hits in a row.
He
Get
doesn't
the guy
walk.
A break.
That whole month where he walked last year is gone. He doesn't do that anymore.
Right.
Like, no, he
I
should
agree.
Not be more than 65% owned. He should be 40% owned.
He should be, what? Mr. Delino DeShields Eric Young fetish is no. telling me how bad Odubel Herrera is.
I'd rather have Herrera than those guys, but they okay. should not be 40%
Thank
owned.
Thank you. Now, I don't know why. You have decided that you hate Odubel Herrera. I'm not saying he's a top 20 outfielder, but I would expect he's going to hit pretty close to 290 the rest of the season. I would expect he's going to hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 home runs and steal 15 to 20 bases. I don't know what's to dislike about him.
Well, you think going forward he's going to hit 15 to 20 with 15 to 20 or rest or like end of season numbers?
I would guess he's going to finish 15 to 20, 15 to 20.
All right, well, we're a third of the way through the season. So,
well, he won't finish with a 290 average. It'll probably be 280.
Yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't stand out. And
he's like a rich man's Kevin Kiermaier. No, honestly, in an outfield environment where Justin Upton is so easily dismissed, I have a hard time.
The only one dismissing Justin Upton.
No, you're the only one not dismissing.
Wait. I wouldn't say dismiss Justin Upton. I just don't think he's not Justin Verlander in terms of value.
He's my 37th outfielder, and I'm not so sure he's really better than like my 45th outfielder, Justin Upton. So that's pretty replaceable.
What's Odubel Herrera?
I'm going to move him up a little, but right now he's 59th. So in a five outfielder league, I mean, certainly he needs to be owned, but he's not really an impact player, I don't think. I just don't think the kind of totals you were mentioning, it'd be great if he could help in batting average, but that would be strictly a roto help because he's so bad at getting on base apart from batting average.
He's a career 340, 350 on base guy. That's not bad.
But it's not, when you're not like a power hitter, it's not enough to really move the needle in points leagues.
Yeah, no, look,
was he a top 30 outfielder last year?
Yeah.
With a lot of walks early in the year.
Right, that's the thing. I think after that first month, he probably wasn't. And he should be owned in five outfielder leagues for sure. I'm looking for standouts right now. If there's any flexibility at outfield where I can pick up and drop someone like Odubel Herrera or like Domingo Santana or like Scott Schebler, I'm looking for standouts. And yeah, right now he's hot as hell. He's got 9 doubles in 5 games in June or something. I think it's 5 games. But he's not a standout to me. And that's why I don't think you have to own Odubel Herrera, unless it's a five outfielder league. Okay, but I understand where you're coming from, Heath. Thank you for a nice argument. Andrew McCutchen, here's a fun fact. Andrew McCutchen has equaled his steals total from last year. He now has 6 in 7 attempts. That's encouraging.
And boy.
Yeah,
would you rather have Andrew McCutchen or Odubel Herrera?
Neither. His last 12 games, McCutchen's batting .372 with 3 home runs. He's been tearing it up. He's got an 1,100 OPS. In 12 games, I would rather have McCutchen. But the question for me would be, would I rather have McCutchen or Polanco? And I'm probably the only person on earth that's going to say Polanco.
No, I'm sure that there's other people. He's got family members and things like that. We expected McCutchen to have a hot streak like this. He's had some terrible batted ball luck, and he's still got more positive regression coming.
It seems like sitting him down has helped for the second straight year. Last year, they sat McCutchen for an entire series at Atlanta at the beginning of August, and the rest of the season, he batted .284 with a .381 on base, .471 slugging percentage, 9 home runs and 3 steals in 2 months. That's fine. That's much better in an OBP or a points league. So he got a little bit of a breather earlier, like 2 weeks ago, and he's been great since then. You know, fun fact, Bryce Harper kind of repeating last year, got off to an amazing start, even better this year. But Harper, his last 19 games, he's batting .155 with 6 walks, 4 intentional walks, and 20 strikeouts. Any concerns that Harper is going to do what he did last year and fooled you, us?
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask.
I'm trying to conjure some, but I'm having difficulty. Okay. Like the only concern would be like emotional scarring. Like I am emotionally scarred from last year's Bryce Harper experience, so I'm naturally afraid it's going to happen again. But there's not like a good, more objective reason than that.
Alrighty. Double dongs, Jay Bruce and Trey Mancini. Trey Mancini, 24% owned. Got a tremendous slash line.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Bruce or Mancini?
I would like to see Mancini play more. He starts about 60% of the time now. He actually didn't start this game and hit 2 home runs.
I believe he hit a game tying and a game winning home run.
Yes, sir.
I think that's right. He's the reason we're talking about Tony Watson today. But at the same time, if he did play every day, would he be more than like a 5 outfielder league guy? The play discipline's pretty bad. The BABIP is crazy high. like, no, I think the upside is still a pretty far down the outfield rankings for Mancini.
Okay.
Who is the other one?
Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce is fine. He's like Upton. Upton, but mm-hmm. not quite as streaky. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's eligible at first base, which helps a little. Yeah, but I could take him or leave him.
42 first baseman.
Jay Bruce or Justin Smoke?
I would say Bruce, but it's close.
All right. Pitchers from yesterday. So these guys are like sort of available. Zach Wheeler, Jimmy Nelson. They're 79% and 77% owned. Do you think they should be more like 90% owned, Zach Wheeler and Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah, I think people have over-analyzed or over-worried about the Zach Wheeler getting shut down thing. Like, are you going to leave him on the waiver wire while he continues to perform because you're not going to be able to use him later? Use him now!
Well, the Mets pretty much walked back the shutdown thing, too.
You don't think they're going to shut him down at all now?
Probably depends on how they're doing, the way they've gone so far. They probably will pull back on the innings, but I think they were like talking about a 125 inning limit early in the year, and they've completely like said no, that's not happening.
Well, I mean, they've seen the evidence that they don't really have to be careful with pitchers.
Yeah, exactly. We can trust them to make the right decisions. Jimmy Nelson, he said he didn't have his good stuff, and he battled, and he struck out 6 Giants, gave up 3 runs in 6 innings, so. 77. Look, there's no way I'd let him be unowned in one of my leagues. That's all I'm going to say. But then again, I don't play in any 10-team leagues. So
I mean, the peaks have been higher for Nelson. And I would rather own Nelson than Wheeler. Wheeler's pitched well, but, you know, high, kind of well in a Gio Gonzalez kind of way where there's a high whip and he's succeeding largely because of being a big ground ball pitcher. He's I don't know, even when he... He's kind of boring, which is not what you were hoping for coming back, you know, after waiting all this time, him having the big fastball and everything. You want a big strikeout totals, and he's not giving you those. He's fine, but I'd rather have Nelson.
All right. You were talking about Wheeler being kind of boring. Yep. Kyle Freeland is 56% owned. Mike Foltynewicz is 57% owned. Who would you rather own, Freeland or Folty?
Folty.
Yeah, another good start for Folty, but still not a lot of swings and misses. 98 miles per hour fastball, 98 mile per hour fastball, and he's not getting
straight as a string.
Yeah, So I don't know. I'm still skeptical of the success, but I'd rather own him than Freeland.
Are you worried at all about Matt Bush? Should Matt Bush owners be looking for a contingency plan? He's, I think, 3 bad outings in a row now. Yeah, Matt Bush.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. It's not like there's somebody beating out the door to take the job away from him. But it's been kind of shaky. He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities, which may contribute to the struggles.
Right.
Kind of some spotty work.
Yeah, like Wednesday, Matt Bush struggled. He hadn't pitched in 5 or 6 days, but he struggled again yesterday. In an odd save.
I'd still rather have him than like Justin Wilson. Probably rather have him than Brad Brock at this point, because Britain's getting closer to returning.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to talk about today's matchups after we do some Raisin the Roof. You don't think raisins go well with Mexican food? Well, why don't you listen to our listeners? From Atha M. Johnson III, my Mexican mother-in-law puts raisins in her tamales. They taste great. # don't knock it till you try it. From Zach, just a heads up, they put golden raisins in a lot of chili relleno, an amazing Mexican dish recipes. Booyah! From Whitney, add raisins to your guacamole, amazing. Then top on any Mexican dish. From Jason, raisins, tacos, breakfast. Make it all the time, debate over. From You Bella Check Yourself. thank you for raisin awareness. You're welcome, You Bella Check Yourself. From Jason. Jason Eldred says, Raisin Team Names Friday. I'm fine with it. You want to give me a Raisin team name? I'm down. Let's see. Oh, this one's more serious, though. I forgot to put this guy's name, but he makes a good point. Really enjoyed the raisin discussion on Wednesday. I was a fan of raisins till the other day when I dropped a raisin and my dog ate it. I had to have the dog vomit the raisin. Raisins are good, but are not worth that. Really love the show.
Raisins are bad for dogs, I guess?
I guess so.
I've always heard grapes were, so it would stand to reason that raisins are too, I guess.
Yeah, so dog owners, no raisins. And Johnny Wilco says, I got yogurt raisins yesterday because of your podcast today. Heath, how do you feel about yogurt raisins? What a lame answer.
Yeah, I don't have any hot take on raisins other than meh.
You know, like, your thought about raisins, you've named several players and called them raisins. Odubel Herrera is a Heath raisin.
He's 25 years old. He's a grape.
So raisin just means
old, dried up. Justin Verlander's a raisin now.
Justin Upton's a raisin.
He may be a little bit of a raisin.
He's only 29.
A little pruning happening there.
He's awfully hot right now, though.
He is. And Just Zeus says, I've had beef empanadas with raisins, was hesitant at first, but was totally delish. Each bite had an explosion of flavor. Hashtag raisins for life. All right, real quick, Heath. What a terrible shot by Kyrie Irving. Like, after Durant hits that three to take the lead,
yep.
Go to the rim. You've been going to the rim all game with success, or give it up or something. That was a terrible shot. So disappointing.
It was an awful shot. I don't. It's strange to me that the first mention of that game is this terrible thing. I don't know why you can't ever just say good things about basketball.
It was a tremendous game. I really was rooting for the Cavs. I wanted them to win so badly. For all of us, we all want a great series. I was so let down by the outcome.
I was not let down. I did greatly enjoy the game. And I guess the difference and the thing that I'm starting to realize, first off, it's really weird how we have these arguments of the Warriors are ruining basketball because they're too good, but the Warriors are not as good as any of the teams in the 80s and 90s.
No, I disagree with that.
Those two things are hard to put together.
So dumb. Like, they clearly are.
Yeah. I like greatness. Like, remember all of last year, or the first half of last year, when I was cheering for the Braves to lose 130 games? I like seeing records broken and seeing the best or worst we've ever seen. So I've enjoyed watching the best basketball team ever.
All right, I get that. Like, I've enjoyed it too. They are amazing to watch. But I still, at the end of the day, I want close competitive games. Now, if we had three games that were as good as game three, okay, fine. But they're 15-0 in the playoffs. And
that's amazing.
It is amazing. But that doesn't make it a good product. Like, it's great to watch. It's great. It better not happen again. Because if it happens... Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. I don't really follow basketball, but I do follow football, and one of the most fun football seasons I can remember that wasn't, you know, my own team, the Falcons, one of the teams I most enjoyed following was the 99 Rams, who blew everybody out, but it was just so much fun to watch. It was a kind of offense we had never seen before. Everybody on the field was just so fast. And Kurt Warner came out of nowhere. Like, great storylines, too. And they blew everybody out, but it was so entertaining to me. Like, there's no entertainment value in that?
Oh, there's lots of entertainment
value. There is.
Value in
it. I'm not saying that I don't enjoy watching the Warriors. I do. I just wish it were a little more competitive. The thing is, I always wanted it to be Cavs-Warriors. I'm not complaining about Cavs-Warriors. What I don't like about the NBA is that we knew, from before the season started, we knew it was going to be Cavs-Warriors, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even competitive.
Right.
That's what bothered me.
I don't like that. I understand that. Like, what was even the point of having the regular season?
Or the playoffs, for that matter.
Yeah.
Right?
The NBA playoffs are ridiculously long. Ridiculously long. And they're the most predictable playoffs by far, so why do they need to be so long? I hear you on that.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. And boy, you say anything bad about the NBA on Twitter, and people just don't watch it then. All right. So I was probably, during the second quarter of that game, I'm sure I was the only person watching Brewers Giants other than Brewers and Giants fans. Let's look at today's matchups. We'll end the show here. We got Mike Leake and Scott Feldman. Start Leake, sit Feldman?
I would start Leake and sit Feldman, yes.
Jose Ramirez, Michael Fulmer, or no, J.C. Ramirez, Michael Fulmer. Would you start J.C. Ramirez?
No.
No.
Johnny Cueto and Paolo Espino.
Cueto, yes. Espino, no.
Espino. Oh, here's an interesting one. Clayton Richard at Patrick Corbin. Corbin has had two good starts against the Padres. Would you start? No?
Start him.
Yes?
No. Start him.
No, yes, I never want to start Patrick Corbin again.
Okay.
Start him.
Okay.
He's out of my top 100 starting pitchers.
What?
Yep.
Ooh.
Matt Harvey's going to come around any day now.
Alec Asher and Joe Ross. Would you start either of these guys, Orioles at Nationals?
No.
All right. Volquez at Garrett Cole. Would you start these guys, Volquez at Cole?
Start Cole.
And I would say don't start Volquez.
No.
Price and Pineda, start them both.
Yep.
Price is pitching today?
Yep.
I guess they're skipping someone? Yeah. They went four-man. I guess they had a day off.
Yeah, they were able to, with Erod going down.
You guys know how bad David Price does against the Yankees, right?
Nope.
It's pretty bad. But I'd start him.
I'm sure you know.
Look it up. I'd be interested to know the numbers. Look it up, Heath. Derek Holland at Jake Odorizzi. Would you start these guys? Holland at Odorizzi.
I would start Odorizzi.
Yep.
Probably not Holland after the start he just had. I don't know. I don't think left-handers, the Rays don't do very well against left-handers, do they? Well, Dickerson I know has been good. I'd rather not chance it with Holland. Let's not do him.
Phillies at Braves. We have Ben, not as good looking as Blake Lively, at R.A. Dickey. Would you start Ben, not as good looking as Blake Lively?
Nope.
Blake Lively is very attractive. Tyler Chatwood at John Lester. Are we starting Chatwood? We're going to start Lester. Are we starting Chatwood?
Not really.
Not really or not at all?
Not really.
Okay.
Like, these are always a little bit questionable because at this point in the week, do I have a 5 ERA and I'm chasing in K's and wins? Do I have a 2 ERA and I don't have to worry about it? So they're all on a sliding scale, so he's not really.
All right. Okay. Lance McCullers and Jason Hamill. We'll start McCullers. We'll start or sit Hamill?
I'm probably sitting Hamill, but I'd rather start him than Chetwood.
Kyle Gibson, Christian Bergman. Sit Gibson.
Not a chance.
All right.
No way.
Do we have David Price's career numbers against the Yankees?
I looked them up, yes. He has a 4 in 36 appearances, 35 of them starts. It is the team, actually, that he has faced more than any other. And he has a 4.55 ERA, 1.36 WHIP, 7.7 Ks per nine. Hey, look at that. His Ks per nine went down even though he was facing a lot more batters. Funny how all the league leaders in K per nine aren't terrible pitchers.
I think it's more of a small sample size thing when Chris says that. But I will let Chris tell you about that when he comes back next week. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. Long show today. We appreciate it. For Scott White and Heath Cummings, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
See ya.